You know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have never considered this a event worth even mentioning, but in light of kind of, and I'm not going to use the words that they want me to use, in light of our current environment, let's just put it like that, getting a haircut is a rare treat. And I actually just left from the stylist. I know, I'm looking all dapper and sharp.
Well, I think I commented in the last podcast we did, was it over a month ago, that like your hair was touching the top of your headphones. So I don't know how bad it was today before you went in, but I can imagine you're feeling a few pounds lighter now.
Yes, and God knows I could use that. But again, don't worry, guys. We're not going to go too deep into it. But the only reason I bring it up is something interesting happened. I've got a new stylist due to the events surrounding, you know, COVID-19, the shutdown, la-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. My normal stylist, it's no longer with the company, citing health reasons. Again, don't need to go into that too much. So we've got a new stylist who's trying to get to know me, asking a lot of questions. And anyone that has cut my hair for any amount of time or have engaged me with conversation over a certain amount of time, know that the responses that I give are, let's just say, atypical at best. And I don't necessarily strive to be atypical. I just think it's a necessary part of...
No, you're very forthcoming with who you are. You're not rude. But I mean, you're very honest and, you know, not everybody's always 100% comfortable or prepared for that. Because you definitely don't do the textbook answers.
No, I definitely don't. And I don't even look for the non-textbook answers. But and there's a reason why I'm going into this. Just bear with me 1 second here, guys. She had asked me, because I'm wearing a face mask, it's like, you know, does gray run in your family? Because I have no gray hairs on my head, but my beard has quite a few of them. Of course, she can't see that, and she's never seen me before. And I have a very youthful-looking face, especially without my glasses or without being able to see the beard. But anyway, I turned around and answered, I don't know. And she goes, what do you mean you don't know if gray runs in your family? It's like, well, I haven't seen any of my extended family for almost 30 years, and I haven't seen my mother for over 15 years. So I have no idea how any of the men in my family grow old. And she just kind of stopped. She's got the comb in her hair, and she's like, you could tell she's searching, like, do I say I'm sorry? Do I say I'm happy? Do I ask him why? And I just kind of nodded and chuckled.
There's nothing pre-written for a proper response to that.
Yeah, I mean, did they all die in a plane wreck? You know, what's going on? And what was interesting about that is after that, and, you know, I kind of told her some of the things surrounding why I don't speak to my family. And I know the listeners will be kind of surprised to know that I don't get along well or don't play along well with others, especially those that want to control.
I'm sure they're shocked. I mean,
yeah.
If you're new to the show, this is not new.
Yeah, this is definitely not new. What was that disorder you were telling me about the other day? Do you think that they should rename after me?
Oh, oppositional defiance disorder?
Yeah, I can't believe it's actually a disorder. I just thought it was a state of being, but apparently it is actually a psychological disorder.
You know, there are those cases
disorder.
I'm sure it is. Let's be real.
But anyway, what does this have to do with the show? I began wondering as she was sitting there trying to figure out how negatively this question may or may not have affected her tip, which it did not, of course. But how many times do we get asked questions that the average bystander, the average person on social media, the people we meet, let's say it's at a party, at a wedding, at a family reunion, playing poker with the guys, do we get asked a question and the answer that we give, let's just say it's jaw-dropping. And it's not because we're intending the response to be that, but the average listener, the average anarchist, they're not going to give an answer that is going to sound anything like Fox News. It's not going to sound anything like MSNBC, and it sure as hell not going to sound like anything that school ever taught us. So it kind of got me thinking about, you know, how many times a day do I get asked questions, which is quite a bit. And how many times, you know, for people that know me, they actually are expecting, and some of them I think are even seeking, a non-typical answer to the stuff that they're hearing on the radio, the stuff they're hearing on TV. And no, I don't have a messiah complex. That's not what I mean.
No, but I mean, here's the thing. The vast majority of conversations that people have are essentially somewhat pre-scripted. Hey, mm-hmm. How you doing today? I'm doing fine. How are you? Oh, you know, I mean, things could be better. Oh, cool. What's going on? There's a rhythm and a flow and expectation, good or bad, that we're used to. Gosh, I don't even know how bantering. Does that make sense?
No, it absolutely does.
There's a rhythm to the banter. How about that? And the more you know a person, obviously, then you learn the different rhythms and things. But I mean, we all fall within a similar wavelength. But when you do have someone like you that, I mean, just you're very true to who you are. And like I said, I've never seen you be outright rude or make a crazy statement just to get a reaction. You're very straightforward and honest, but in a way that's engaging someone to have a conversation and is hopefully asking somebody to ask the question why or what do you mean or asking you to elaborate. But, you know, while you're talking about that, I was thinking, yeah, you know, with most anarchists, and I don't fall really solidly in that realm. And we've discussed that. I'm a little more neutral in a lot of areas. But for a lot of people, answering questions in that way and being honest, really 100% of the time, is a gamble. Because it not only removes the person's ability to kind of judge where you're at and how to respond, but we also, or you, I should say more you also, have no idea how that person's going to respond. Are they going to be more extremely on one side or the other? Are they going to have a volatile reaction to what you're saying? And especially with, I mean, and we'll get into it here in a minute, but as I think volatile is the good word for it, mm-hmm. as things are right now. I mean, you're looking at, you know, some conversations that may be going into places that are not just uncomfortable, but can possibly explode.
No, you are absolutely correct. And the way I envision it is that there is a band of acceptable answers, both within the typical left or typical right. And with any given situation, you can predict where people are going to fall within this band. It may not be exactly verbatim that you can predict, but you know that if a person is... Yeah, exactly. On the left, you know that a person that typically sides with the left, they're going to fall within a certain range of answers. And the same thing on the exact same situation, someone on the right is going to fall. And we're going to dive into some of the current events here in a second, but let's look at the recent death in Minneapolis. Someone on the left is typically going to say something about police brutality against minorities. And that's how they view this. That's their scope. That's their lens. Someone on the right is typically going to say, well, they shouldn't have been resisting arrest or what was happening.
Followed orders, all that horse shit.
Yeah, or yeah. What was happening before the video.
I'm going to interject here in just a moment. I know I typically don't fall either way, but I'm solidly leaning left on that one.
You think it's racially motivated?
I can't say that it's not. I mean, let's just... Had they had a white man in the same circumstances who was sitting on his car, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would have gone down in the same way. I don't think you would have had three officers sitting on top of him while the other one's screaming at people to back off while the guy is telling him that he can't breathe. Right. I don't think it would have gone the same direction, no. But that's my personal opinion. I can't say 100% with infallible truth. That's definitely what happened, and this is all a race thing. Nobody can. But
exactly.
I can't ignore the commonalities that are existing for minorities that do not happen typically with white people.
Right. And one of the other misnomers that people will on the right will say to counter that, more whites are harmed or killed than black people. But they're looking at that not as a percentage, but as a total number, and they forget that whites by far and large make up a much larger percentage of the population. So therefore, it should follow that there should be, at least in some instances, you know, a higher number. Now, percentages are a completely different deal, and we're not here to even go down that road necessarily. And I want to...
No, you want to talk about setting fires with people. You know, this there's a huge, huge divide, and, you know, we've covered the law enforcement thing before, and I'll say it again. I don't think everybody who's on the force is a bad person or there for the wrong reasons, but I think there's a pervasive mentality that has continued to grow and grow and is getting called out now.
Which one of those four police officers that were involved was the good cop?
Again, I can't apply a rule to all of them. I can't say every cop is. I can't. I think that's just as wrong as applying a generality to any group of people.
Are any of the four people that were involved in the video currently in jail?
No, they're not.
Okay. Then I'm going to say there are no good cops, at least in that department. And here's why. If a civilian would have even been a bystander, much less...
I already know where you're going with this one. And I agree. Again, I just can't say, you know what, no matter what cop it is, I think he's an asshole and a son of a bitch. I don't think every cop is a bad cop. I don't. Do I think that there is a mindset and a principle in the thin blue line shit that happens that causes issues? Clearly, this isn't even an issue. This is major, major problems. And how many times, how many cases have we come across where an officer is involved in a death that's fucking wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Every facet of it is wrong. And like, well, we've given them, you know, he's been either he's fired or... he was put on paid leave while they did an internal investigation and found no wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd be amazed if you could fill one hand from internal investigations that found any solid wrongdoing on a cop's case. We got the swatting incident that happened here in Wichita. Was it 2 years ago, a year ago, something like that?
It was more than a year. Closer to three now, I believe.
Is it? Okay. The last 2 months have screwed my brain on any sense of actual time continuum. You've got the thing that happened here in Minneapolis, you've got, I mean, any number of other cases that have gone down. The few years ago, there was a case where they swatted in the wrong house and the flashbang went off into a friggin' baby's crib.
Mm-hmm.
No culpability, no responsibility, no cover of the medical charges. I don't even know if they fully even got an apology.
Mm-hmm.
You were telling me about one earlier today where a woman...
Breonna Taylor.
Yeah, she was killed when not only... I'm sorry. Let me back step here a little bit. Correct me if I'm wrong, but a search warrant was obtained using essentially falsified information.
As far as we can tell,
And they then raided the wrong house. It wasn't even the house that was supposed to be on the search warrant.
No,
and
it was the right house on the search warrant, but it wasn't where the person was.
Oh,
this
okay.
was a residence that they had many years before. Three cops, plain clothes, no knock raid. According to the neighbors, they did not announce they were police, knocked the door down. The boyfriend was laying in bed with her, responded to the door being
busted in
by firing a shot in that direction. They opened fire and killed her. And the prosecutor had the audacity to charge this individual with attempted murder of a police officer.
Because that deserves to be a separate statute, right?
Well, they've dropped the charge now.
No. I'm saying just in general. There's a different level of wrong if you attempt to kill a police officer versus attempting to kill. I'm not mad. I can't even, verbalize. If you're willing to sit here and say, well, they should have followed orders. They should have done this. I'm sorry. I don't know. Nope. It's best we not have the conversation because... I can't, you know, there's the article that's cell phones now are essentially policing the police.
Mm-hmm. That is
correct.
Because,
you know, they have all these videos that are starting to come out more and more and more that directly contradict these, you know, watered down versions.
The initial
statements.
Right.
That they release as statements. And it...
like in the case, let's go to Minneapolis. In that case, resisting arrest is what they said that the individual was doing, and also he had some kind of medical emergency while he was in custody.
Yeah, his medical emergency is that some fucking son of a bitch has got his knee on his neck.
And kept it there even when
he became unresponsive. Yep.
When he became unresponsive. Now, and I don't, I know you don't like the generalization, but.
No, I don't. I balk on that quite a bit, but go ahead.
And you can, but it's illegal to kill someone.
Unless you're a cop.
No, it's illegal to kill someone unless you can prove that you feared for your life. You have to have some justifiable reason.
I'm speaking out of anger right now, so good correction. Thank you.
I get it. When their hands are behind their back, they're face down on the concrete, and your knee is on them, then you can't cite that. You've got three other police officers who had, two of them had their hands on him. One of them stood by. None of them intervened on his behalf.
Nope. Well, even the case that happened with Ahmaud Arbery.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Right. There was no arrest made because one of the men involved was a retired officer.
Correct.
It wasn't until, what was it, the GBI got involved, where they're like, why weren't we called before this? This is major issues. And all of a sudden, you see this run of arrests, including the guy that stood there and filmed it and didn't do a damn thing about it and followed them in pursuit. But the word was taken of the retired officer, well, this is what's going on, and he's been a suspect of all these armed robberies, when it turns out,
Now, and this is where I'm going to call you on the carpet here. We have a system to which the guy that stood there as a civilian and filmed it has been charged with a crime.
But the officers who stood by and did nothing have not.
Who are actually charged with enforcing the law.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say protecting citizens, because as we've discussed before, Supreme Court has already ruled that that is not the case. You cannot hold these guys to a different standard. This is exactly the thing you don't like, and that's why I'm going to call you on it. But
I can't say across the line that no officer in the country that had been in that situation wouldn't have tried to call them off and been, dude, get off of him. He can't breathe. We've got him.
Okay, I'm not saying that, but there are the cop, you might find a, and I do mean a, but they're either one or two things going to happen. Either because they fear losing their pension or their job, or some form of reprisal, they are not going to act in accordance with the law, or B, they're going to lead the force. Case in point.
No, and I agree with you. I'm just saying it's not just a police officer thing. It's a system that is fucked up. You know, any company anywhere that's able to do an internal review to determine any wrongdoing, it's not cool. I'm sorry. This is something that goes beyond an officer thing.
And it does. I mean, this is definitely an indictment of the system. But I want to call to mind, was it Washington State, if I remember correctly, 2 weeks ago, the officer that sat in his car and said, we cannot enforce these laws. We swore an oath, and we are duty-bound to the Constitution of the United States of America. And I'm gagging a little. You know how I feel about the Constitution. And, calling on his fellow officers to not enforce these laws that are requiring people to stay at home. It is unconstitutional. Is he still employed as a police officer?
Probably not.
He absolutely is not. He was forced to resign.
Mm-hmm.
There was someone that was trying to be a good cop. What happened?
Again, I'm not saying that they get to stay on the force forever. I'm just saying there are good men out there who are there trying to do what they believe is right.
Okay. Good point of differentiation. Are there good men that work as police officers? Yes, absolutely. Potentially. Are there good cops? No. You can't be. Because if you are willing to enforce an unethical law, if you are willing to commit an unethical act because you're following orders.
Oh, some of the worst atrocities in history have been committed by those who are following orders. I get that.
Okay, again, then they can't be good
cops.
You
know that. I'm against absolutes. I cannot say there is no such thing. I can't. And it's going to have to be a point I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on. Because we can keep going round and round and round. And I'm sorry. I refuse to apply an absolutism. to individuals when it's the system itself that screwed up.
Correct. But I don't think a cop is an individual. A cop is a representative of a system that is meant to oppress the people. You know, am I adding and saying this individual? Not necessarily. And we'll walk away from this just so the listener doesn't have to hear this back and forth.
My big thing in the conversation today was just trying to point out that we have a system that is no longer functional. It's not even a, well, maybe there's a few bad seeds that, you know, take things in the wrong direction. There's so much, and it goes even beyond the stuff that's happening with profiling or how harshly certain individuals are treated over others. It's so pervasive within so many levels that I think it speaks to the reason we do this podcast to begin with, is trying to point out and get people to look and not sit back and say, well, you know, it's just a system and it is what it is. And if you follow the rules, because it doesn't matter if you follow the rules. If you come across the wrong individual in the wrong position, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, you've got a system now where segue into another thing. The phone call that was made in Central Park, the two Coopers, because the guy's last name happened to be Cooper and so did hers. The guy's African-American. He's bird watching in the park in a particular section of Central Park.
Right, Central Park.
That's particularly for bird watchers. And there's signs everywhere. If you have a dog, it has to be on a leash so that they don't disturb the habitats.
Well, it's beyond that. I think that's city code. I mean, almost every major city.
Right, but there's sections of the park where they're able to have them off the leash and have them run and play and things like that. That's what I was pointing out. So anyway, he's out there and he's doing his thing and she's got her dog off the leash. And according to him, the dog was running around tearing through stuff. So he had started filming and it was a white woman. He's a black man and had asked her, hey, you know, get your dog on a leash. And she got very upset that he was filming at all. And I actually watched, I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I chose not to.
But she starts approaching him and starts pointing and saying, you know, I'm going to call the cops and I'm going to tell them a black man is threatening my life. And he's like, look, I'm filming essentially to protect myself. He goes, go ahead, call him. It's right here. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, she gets up that phone and you can hear like the panic. Oh my God, I'm in so much trouble. There's a black man, you know, and it's like a full panic call. And at that point, you know, he turns and leaves his phone on. He walks away. And I think he posted it or something and now it's blown up. But you've got a system where all it takes is a phone call with the right accusation. And if you don't have something like he does with that phone, your life's done. All it takes is the accusation to ruin your life.
Oh, this reminds me of another episode we did.
Yeah, it's been a while. I don't remember what the title of that one was, but
I'm talking about the accusations. I'm going a different route, but I want to stay on this topic.
You're fine. That's all it takes.
Like what's happening with Biden. Oh, it was the Kavanaugh one. Where,
was it the accusation?
The Me Too movement, all
but
that
I mean,
bullshit.
Think about it. You have the accusation. You spend a night in jail before you're able to disprove anything. You've potentially lost your job.
Mm-hmm.
You could potentially have lost custody of your kids. Who knows what happens with your own relationship? Paying your bills. I mean, any number of things are impacted by somebody getting pissed off and using the system against you.
Or to benefit themselves, which is exactly one of our problems.
And if you don't have something infallible filmed the whole, I mean, God.
And
we
even
should
if,
walk around body cams. Who knows?
Well, here's the problem. I mean, what's the likelihood of you being able to show the police officer that's arresting you this cell phone footage? I mean, even if you have it, you're going to spend time in jail.
Yep.
Until they can investigate it. And I mean, they're never going to find you not guilty as fast as they find themselves not guilty.
That's a very true statement.
So, all of this to say, and again, I wasn't trying to get your hackles up. I understand.
It's not hard to do these days. It's been a stressful few months. Let's be real. Everything's kind of closer to the surface now. I don't think I've gotten this riled up on any episode ever.
No, you haven't. So now you're feeling what I usually feel on a light day, because I'm usually the one that's all pissed off about every damn thing, the littlest shit.
No, I just, you know, with what I do for a living, you know that I'm in contact with more minorities than I am white people.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, and when I hear people make a comment, well, it's not that big a problem. Well, they should have done this. Well, they should have done that. It's like, man, you can't speak to things that you don't. I can't even speak to them because I've never fully experienced that. You know, what is it like to walk through, you know, I have, okay, good example. I went to the store this morning, and as I was loading things up into my, I realized I left a bag inside the store, so I had to go back in. And by the time I'd been out, the car next to me had pulled out, and another one had pulled in. So I got the bag and I'm loading it back in my car, and it happened to be two women getting out. One was black, one was white. And as I was closing the lid, I saw them kiss. So obviously they're together. Whatever.
Or really good friends, one of the two.
We're very, very good friends. Good point. I should not.
You should not generalize,
I should not
remember?
Generalize or label. True. But the woman who was white then went into the back seat, which was on my driver's side, and was getting her child out. And the woman who was standing behind the door at that point, the black woman, immediately like stiffened up and was eyeing me, trying to gauge, I don't know, my response to either them kissing, the fact that she was black, the fact they were interracial, who knows? Mm-hmm. But it was a complete change in body posture and an immediate...
A defensive stance.
Defensive and kind of gauging like, oh, okay, what's going to happen here?
Bracing.
Right. And so, I did what I did and just was kind of, and she's like, well, you know, we're getting out of your way. I said, you guys are fine. Take your time. I said, don't hurry. My kids are at home. This is my vacation time, you know, kind of laughing about it. And once, you know, it was established, like, no issue, full relaxation. You know, what is it like? I couldn't imagine ever standing outside my car getting, I'd try to hurry if somebody's waiting, but having to get into a full defensive mode where that's your life every day, because mm-hmm. you don't know the person you're talking to. You don't know where they stand on race, sexual orientation.
Preferences,
mm-hmm. whatever it may be. You know, what is that like? I can't speak to it, but it was something I was in there. And I mean, like I said, it was an immediate like, oh shit, kind of a moment, you know.
Well, let's be real. And this is not me equating any of this, because obviously I know that there's a big difference. I think everyone goes through life getting prejudged for quite a few things. And again, you know, the clothes that you wear, the car that mm-hmm. you drive, the stickers on your car, that's nothing like being judged because of the color of your skin or a sexual preference or any of that. And again, I repeat, I am not equating it, but I think human beings typically do this because we're pattern seeking machines. We've
that's
talked
what I
about
was going
to
say. Yeah, right. You're trying to gauge who it is you're interacting with, talking to. All of that plays into the script, like we were talking about in the beginning.
Exactly. And you see where I was going with mm-hmm. that. We've been doing this long enough, I guess. But right. You could tell where the tie-in was coming in, that, you know, there's these bands of typical responses depending on how you can gauge that person. You know, is this person on the left? Well, they're going to be very accepting of the fact that I'm in an interracial, same-sex relationship mm-hmm. or whatever it was. Whereas if it was your typical, let's say, right-wing conservative, then there may be some frowning. There may be, let's say they have a kid, there may be covering their face, or there may be some looks. Now, those are all generalizations, which we've already established you absolutely love, but let's call a spade, that is what we do as human beings. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong.
Right, but how often do I have to go out and worry about the reaction I'm going to get from somebody who has prejudged me? Based on that principle.
I know. I said I wasn't equating it.
I understand that. I'm just saying, going back to my point way too late. Sorry, guys. To have people poo-poo these experiences off. I don't know how else to phrase it.
Right. No. And we should
not.
It's
intrinsically wrong. You know, and there's those who say, well, you can't put yourself in the mindset of these cops. They're in these life or death situations every day, and they have to look at every situation as being a life or death circumstance. And again,
I think anyone that's listened to this knows how I feel. Mm-hmm. If we're being fair, you have to accept that as well.
Yep.
You have no idea what their previous experiences were, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But Chris Rock said it best, I think, and I'm going to paraphrase. There are certain professions that you just cannot have bad apples. Airline pilots, for instance. Well, he's only crashed four of the last six planes he's in. He's a little bit of a bad apple. We got to keep him around.
Hey, we're rocking a solid 20% there.
I think.
Is that four out of six? That'd be 20%. No.
No, God, no. That can't be four out of six. Holy hell.
I meant positive. Positive, positive.
Whatever you got to do to save that.
It's off, guys.
Anyway.
That's why I'm not a teacher, man.
I'd
ruin kids.
No doubt. Don't help your kids with math homework.
I was trying to put the emphasis on the positive that there's a relative low percentage that he hadn't crashed.
Right. Four out of six would be two-thirds. Two-thirds is 66.6%.
Okay, so I'm sorry. There's a 33.333333333 infinity positive chance that maybe he wouldn't.
You can tell who's the nerd here and who's not.
But comic nerd. There's a difference. There you're a geek. Go. I'm a nerd.
I think you're generalizing again, and I'm going to have to
no,
not say that's okay.
It's not a generalization. Okay. I know you well enough to say that. This is very true.
Yeah. Anyway, long and short.
Level of certainty.
Within law enforcement, if we're going to put people in these particular situations, 6 months of training, not adequate. Not doing psychological profiles, not adequate. If I'm going to require you to take 2 years worth of schooling to cut hair in only 6 months to carry a gun.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of law enforcement puts you in these situations, something's right. Got to change. And we all know what the answer is, and it's privatization, and I don't need to go through that. That's...
Yeah, just listen to every other episode we've done.
Well, or any kind of... Right. I mean, that's the answer to just about everything, but...
No, I agree. Like I said, you've got the people that we can't put ourselves in their shoes, and that's true. But I mean, man, they go through specific trainings on ways to... subdue suspects or, apprehend in mm-hmm. a way that does not cause fatalities. That's one of the, what happened in this case was one of the trainings they've got. You know, there was, there is a law professor at the University of South Carolina who was a former police officer that commented on the deal in Minneapolis. And I'm going to go ahead and just run through the quote because I'll paraphrase him terribly. I'm not braining well today, as you guys have heard. I just cannot fathom an officer in 2020 honestly saying, yes, I thought it was okay to keep him in that position for almost 4 minutes after he passed out, who is an expert on the use of force. That's just mind-boggling to me, he said. The encounter blew comparisons, obviously, to the case of Eric Gardner, the black man who died in New York police custody in 2014 after the white officer held him in the chokehold. I don't know if you remember that one.
Yeah.
But, the whole point is that you don't... They go through specific training... to avoid leaving them on their stomachs.
Mm-hmm.
Because the possibility of asphyxiation is higher. And that's just putting them on their stomachs, let alone putting the pressure with the knees on the neck. So, it's just... any way you shake it, everything about this is wrong. And hey, they got fired. Well, gosh darn, the guy's dead. Name any other
profession,
job, position in the world where they'd be like, well, we fired him. What do you want? It's wrong.
Doctor.
Okay, if a doctor got on the table, put the patient face down.
Due to gross negligence in the execution of his job, he would not necessarily go to jail, but he probably would be terminated from the hospital. Maybe.
Depending on the severity of the case, though, correct. There are doctors who have absolutely been prosecuted
absolutely.
For wrongful death.
If there was intent there, absolutely. And there was obvious intent here. All of, you said mm-hmm. name a profession. That's the one that just popped in my head.
No, well, I'll give you that one, okay? I'll give you that
I'm
one.
I'm being a pain
where
in the
it
ass,
can cause
I'm sorry.
Death. Right, but I mean, that's also you going into a situation knowing there's a chance. If you go under, I'm sorry, no matter where you go, if you go under, you mm-hmm. don't know if something goes wrong and you have a reaction to the anesthesia.
Oh, yeah.
A scalpel can clip the wrong thing. You can have a reaction and get an infection afterwards. Anytime you go in for a surgery, there is a level of risk that you are accepting upon laying down upon that table or in that chair.
I agree with you. I have to, because I would get hate mail if I did not say that that's in the case where you were going involuntarily. If you were the victim of a car accident or, let's say, a police shooting mm-hmm. where you did not go in voluntarily, you would not necessarily be accepting those risks.
Right.
And I'm not trying to pick the fly shit out of the pepper.
And that's a good point. But you also have doctors who when something is going wrong, when a patient is communicating that something is wrong,
mm-hmm.
they respond and listen.
That is correct.
And if they don't, that's when you have the cases where it goes into a legal proceeding.
Gross negligence.
Correct.
And even at that point, they have to carry malpractice insurance in case they do something like this, so that it's not necessarily the hospital, though, although it can be the hospital, but it's not the taxpayers that are paying for it.
No, but like I said, it's just, you brought a good point. I was just countering where I could. But, no, sorry. I am getting off of my soapbox, everybody. We are going to move on at this point.
So,
like I said, it's just, it's...
It's raw. I get it. And it's unfolding right now. You and I are talking. And
as the protests are going.
As the protests are going on for the second night, they were gathering in the intersection where it happened. And who knows what's going to happen tonight. Hopefully some sort of resolution. So the tie-in here about the questions and what got us started on this topic tonight before Minneapolis happened, because you and I have been talking about this for about a week, was what happened in Lexington, but I know it was in Kentucky, where there was a protest to protest Governor Beshear's measures on keeping the state closed.
Yep.
And there was a gentleman who was there, I believe, at his house at the mansion, and he hung an effigy of the governor, and someone affixed the Sic Semper Tyrannis, thus always to tyrants, to the chest of this effigy, and they left it there hanging. And you asked me, is this something that disgusts you? And I gave you an answer that you did not agree with in any stretch of the imagination. And that's where
it kind of... Can you believe it, guys? We don't agree on a lot of stuff.
Which is good. I don't think people want to listen to two people agreeing with each other. But, and I imagine the listener, if you had to guess, what do you think I had to say? I'll give you a second here. I'm just kidding.
Don't.
I'm not going to hum
don't.
Jeopardy.
I'll walk out right now and you can finish the show on your own.
Easy now. I was, of course, okay with it. And the reason I was okay with it is... Do you want me to say why I was, or do you want to say why you're against it? Or
Go ahead. I think I've talked enough this episode.
No, I mean, you're definitely going to want to weigh in because I'm a... Inevitably, I'm gonna say something that's gonna piss you off.
I got guaranteed, but you know, I got to vent on the thing that had me upset. So please go ahead and vent on the thing that had you going.
And it didn't even have me going. And do I understand that lynching is and can be viewed as an insensitive message? Yes. With our history, especially pre-Civil War and even post-Civil War. Lynching definitely has some racial connotations. In this particular case, it's not race driven. Both parties are of the same race. But for me, this is still about a freedom of speech. And it's also very indicative of one of the very large glaring problems in our system of government. We elect a person who runs on a specific platform. Now, of course, nobody was running on the platform of, yes, I promise to shut down or not shut down the entire state and all commerce in the event of a pandemic, because none of us saw this coming. But again, with these bands of acceptable responses to particular situations that we talked about at the very beginning, you have to assume that the person that you are electing is going to react in a way that you're going to find favorable. That's why you vote for them, because you have a feeling and there's a level of maybe even predictability. Now, obviously anyone that's within this movement or has even been watching politics for any amount of time knows that's not the case. There's no contract binding these persons, and they are most likely going to react in a way that benefits themselves and their chances of re-election and or the people that helped get them elected.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, framed in that way, what recourse do you have as an individual to an elected official that is reacting in a way that you find negative? You can wait 4 years or 6 years, depending on, you know, what class of public official it is, if it's an elected official. Keep in mind, most of them, or a lot of them, are appointed Supreme Court justices, for instance. How do you let them know that you are displeased with how they are reacting? Now, obviously, going straight to hanging them in effigy may be counterproductive. I could understand that. But at the same time, after weeks and weeks and weeks of the same thing, and we have no idea, maybe this guy contacted the governor's office repeated times and got blown off. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. But to me, it is a legitimate form of political protest. And you, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, I want you to speak your piece on it, had a different view.
No, I do have a different view. I think it's fundamentally wrong. This wasn't like a threat of violence. I mean, this was putting, it was a lynching. It was an effigy. Yes, I get that. That's never right. I'm sorry. There are so many ways that you can voice your displeasure. Did this get attention? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think it got more negative attention, and it did more to turn the tide probably for this governor than against it.
Yeah, and this individual just got fired today.
Yeah, I mean, it's not okay to me to take that displeasure and mold it in a way that is that outright violent.
Okay.
And to an extent, threatening. It could be interpreted that way very, very easily.
Oh, it was meant to be interpreted as violent.
I'm sure it was. I think it's wrong.
Let me ask you this, because you're a lot more level-headed on this particular subject than I am, I believe.
You don't look at that as violating one of your three principles?
No, I do not. But
because they didn't physically touch you, they're just threatening to touch you. You wouldn't look at that if you had a disagreement with a neighbor, and they get up in front of your house and hang an effigy of you in front of your house where your kids can see it.
Now, did I have a disagreement with my neighbor, or did my neighbor tell me that I could not conduct business with my other neighbors? Did my neighbor tell me I could not leave my house? And if I did, I had to do it under certain circumstances. And if I refused to do that, I would get thrown in a cage and or fined. Did my neighbor do all that?
I don't know. Maybe he did.
This is your scenario. I'm asking.
I understand that. Does that justify you hanging an effigy of him? Okay, no.
If you are going to prevent me from moving, if you're going to prevent me from providing food for my kids unjustly, you have violated the non-aggression principle.
Well,
and I am allowed.
Argue that you are violating the non-aggression principle. If you are sick, if you have exposed yourself to being sick, and I'm not citing this, I'm just saying it's an argument that can be made. If you get within close contact, if you happen to touch something, let's say they've got somebody in their house that is immunocompromised.
Oh, I'm not going to their house.
It's a common neighborhood. There's common things. If you're selling your goods, if you are touching these things that are then going into the hands of another, if you have unduly exposed somebody, that's an argument that can be made.
You could make that argument if it was a Typhoid Mary type of situation where I knew that I was sick. And like today, I had to wear a mask and they took my temperature before they would conduct business with me. I support that.
Right.
I don't like it.
You got the concern with this one too, that you are already contagious while you are still asymptomatic. And there are many people who stay asymptomatic the entire time.
And
that's
shown
a level of concern.
But that doesn't allow you to prevent someone from leaving their house.
But that allows you to make it okay to...
Then you don't interact with them. If you've got a problem
with
them,
show them as being lynched in some way.
Which causes more harm? The neighbor preventing me from going and taking care of my family?
Regardless of the degree of which one is more wrong or which one is more this, it's still wrong.
Who violated the non-aggression principle first?
Okay, that's an argument my kids make. Well, she hit me first. That justified me punching her in the nose.
Okay, you walk home. Don't roll your eyes at me. You know I'm going to argue this point.
I know we are. I just, again, this is one of those points where we went through this before. I'm sorry. I find it fundamentally wrong
to
make an overt threat in that way.
To someone who is put violence on you and your family.
Because he himself went forth and put violence on you.
If
put mandates out. Yes, I get that.
And what happens?
The whole point in what we're doing here is dissent. Yes? No way that they can go out as a group and find other ways of voicing their disapproval. Find other ways of standing together to continue to take care of their family.
No, there are ways, but they're all in violation of the law that this individual set forth. The law that he set forth prevent any form of dissent.
They're already out there violating the law, just being out there together. Taking it the extra step, it's still wrong. I'm sorry.
And this is another point we're going to have to disagree on. Guys can see why it came.
I agree to disagree. It really did.
To me?
I can't imagine being in that situation. Do I think he's doing anything maliciously to attack the people in his state? The governor in this situation. It was the governor, right? Or was it the mayor?
It was the governor. He is not, I want to hear this correctly, say it. He is not doing anything maliciously to...
Do you think he is setting out to cause harm to these people? Or does he...
Does he have to have the intent in order to cause harm?
Of course not. Nobody does.
Okay, we said that the reason I'm going to...
But is this person having the intent to threaten harm?
Because in my opinion, he is responding to a harm that is caused to him and his family. If you stood outside my house as my neighbor and told me I couldn't leave and you blocked me from leaving my house and I needed to get food, you had no just reason to block me from my house. Am I allowed to use force to leave my house against you, my neighbor, who is blocking me?
In that case, yes. Again, I still think it's a different situation.
In this case, he didn't use force. If it's okay to use force, then a threat of force, I would think, would also be okay.
But you presented such an extreme, you need to feed your family. He's blocking your path. We just said there were other means of accomplishing their goals. There are other means of obtaining what they need to for their family.
Here's my deal. I don't believe in begging your masters for your rights. I would never be at a political protest like this. And in that case,
what's going on here?
What do you think's going on?
Are there certain situations where you are going to get to an emotional situation where this is the case? Of course. We covered that as well in our earlier argument. I don't think that the circumstance justified the action in this case.
No.
I just don't.
And this is not me being an asshole. Keep in mind, we just spent 10 minutes talking about there's no way of knowing what the other person was experiencing that led up to the event. You and I have no idea. And I'm taking that out of the equation.
No, I mean,
maybe he petitioned the governor. Maybe he needed... I don't know. But if you're going to tell me that there's nothing that this guy could have experienced, the person that hung in effigy, that would have justified that, I think that's counter to some of the stuff we talked about earlier, where you take a different stance. I understand.
And it's... You understand I'm wrong. Yeah, I get this.
I know. I didn't say I understand you're wrong. I understand your point.
I understand that
for you, this is not legitimate. Now, for me, again, I reiterate, I don't believe in begging for your rights from your political master. We shouldn't have a system in which you should have to. We should not have a system in which an individual with a stroke of a pen can remove your rights.
No, and we can agree on that point. That's why we do this. That's why we have the conversations. And even in that point where we agree, there's still going to be, I don't even know how to phrase it. There's still going to be points of contention.
There are.
Where the degree to which those go is separate.
And it is, but that's the beautiful thing about the movement. I am not here to tell you what you should do. Mm-hmm. You're not here to tell me what I should do. And that's the entire point.
Right.
There are different ways of handling different situations.
Agreed. And I think when you take it to an extreme like that, all you are doing is setting your voice and the voice of the people who are trying to get something done back.
For me, he doesn't speak for my community at all. Because, I mean, this is a 3%er. He's actually president of the local 3% club, which... however, whichever. I'm not here to throw any shade anywhere, but I want to wrap this up, at least this part of it, and then we have an announcement for you guys right after that. How would you have felt standing there watching this guy dying? And let's say it was me, let's say it was someone you don't know, rush the cops to get him off of this guy. Would they have been justified?
Oh, you're speaking the Minneapolis. Sorry, I was.
I'm talking Minneapolis. Yeah. No.
Would they have been justified when the guy is
in attacking the police officers?
Probably.
And that's where I don't understand, and that's where my point of contention.
You think they wouldn't be justified in getting?
No,
him off?
I think they absolutely would be justified. Which is the same reason I think that this individual was justified in hanging someone in effigy. This effigy was not an attack; it was a threat. But to me, if you're willing to condone someone attacking the embodiment of the law, who is harming another individual, which I agree with, I think
this wasn't
you should.
Just harming. The guy's dead. This was imminent danger.
I said before he was dead. I understand that. But, I mean, there's a difference between striking a police officer and hanging the effigy of...
It's not even that. I think you're...
I'm not conflating. I don't think I'm conflating.
I don't see...
The correlation?
The correlation here. I don't think it's a parallel situation.
That's fine. I see it as an absolute parallel.
I think you
have
a moral obligation to help another human being who's in imminent danger.
I don't like the word obligation, but I'll let you have it. I mean, if you believe you have a moral obligation, that's fine.
I would hope, okay, if you don't want to use the word obligation,
no,
that's fine.
I don't. You use the word obligation.
No, I think coming from, with your principles or wherever you are coming from as a person to help someone else who's in, imminent danger. Yes.
I'll put it this way. If this neighbor that was being an asshole that was preventing you from leaving your house... And I came by your house or you called me, I would use force to remove this individual. Even though you were not in imminent danger.
Okay.
That's the point I'm trying to make. The effigy thing, to me, is a lighter than using physical force against a human being.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Again, it doesn't make it right.
It's a response to a wrong.
It's a response to a wrong, sure. But throwing a threat out like that, you can liken it over to that whole deal with the Tiger King when he had the blow-up doll and he was shooting it in the head at Carol Baskin, boom. It doesn't make it right. It's screwed up, I'm sorry. I think there's varying levels of people being upset, and do we do things out of character and more extreme when we are in a heightened emotional state, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make it right.
Well, I was saying justified, but it matters not. So, are we confident enough to put this dead horse?
I think we're going to have to, or people are just going to tune us out going, oh my God, y'all shut up.
Shut up about all this. And you know what? There's probably a lot of people that are going to agree with you more than they agree with me.
It may very well be the opposite, though, too. I mean, here's the thing. Falling neutral doesn't necessarily mean people fall on my side.
No, I don't mean that. Here's the thing, and
like I said, on this issue, I definitely probably lean more in one direction than the other.
There are a lot of things that are out there that are very, and God, you gotta love the tie-ins. I'm gonna pat myself on the back because that's what I do. But there are a lot of questions that we ask on here where there is an easy answer that falls within the bands, and it's very easy to say no. The lynching of anyone, even an effigy, is wrong, especially considering our racially charged history. I get it. I understand where that comes from. It's much harder to look at it from a principled point. I didn't say better. I did say harder. And as you and I have talked about, if the principle is the earth and you're jumping from an airplane and you've got a parachute on, the later you pull the parachute, the harder the landing's going to be against those principles. And I usually pull my parachute at the very last moment. And it's not a comfortable position for a lot of people. And I'm used to being challenged on a lot of this stuff, even from you, as you guys got to hear. But that doesn't make me right. That doesn't make you wrong, or vice versa. I think a lot of people are going to see the merit in the argument that you're making because of our history and the overt threat. And, you know, if you would have asked me a year ago, I probably would have been right there with you. But there's been a lot of changes going on with how I view things, and I think I've moved much further down the aggressive road than you have.
You have, but I mean, that's human nature in general. We all have different limits.
And different paths.
Yeah, and that's really where it's coming down to, I think, even for me, is in this circumstance, in this, I can see the argument that people make with the deal with the governor, and where they are trying to do a good here in help in protecting people. I can see the point being made on that side. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with it. I can see the point.
My eyebrow raised. Okay? Sorry, guys.
No.
It's reflex.
Again, I can see where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And to respond in that way, like I said, that's just, it's not a point where I can justify that. In for you, like you said, you're further down the line. You can. Not a right or wrong. And, you know, we're okay, I think. Like, well, we'll live to record another day. I'm not walking out hating your guts or mad because you don't agree with me on that point. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm good. I got to vent. I'm fine now. You know, sometimes that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's got a different borderline.
Is that a different breaking point?
Yeah, different break. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
That sounds like an episode we recorded about the Choker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice callback.
Recording all of our earlier
episodes. With that put to bed, this announcement we've got to make. We're getting ready to make some changes to the podcast, and we wanted to let you guys be the first ones to know. Now, the big main change is going to be a name change, but there's going to be a slight format change as well. After the recording of this and the release of this one, we are changing the name to Point of Dissent. The reason we are making this change is because, and you guys have probably noticed a drop off in the amount of episodes that we do.
Well, when, that's largely due to the circumstances right now, to be fair.
It's partly due to that, but the other thing is there's only so many different ways we can rehash the exact same thing, because it seems like the stuff that's happening in the world falls into one of, I'm just going to pick a number, maybe 8 or 9 categories. And there's only so many times we can talk about police brutality, government overreach, surveillance, loss of rights before you guys are going to get sick of hearing about it. So we're going to pull back from our very narrow focus on looking at topical events from a voluntarist, anarchist, whatever you want to call Evelyn's neutral viewpoint. And that's not a dig. I just don't have a name for it. And I don't want to.
That's what makes it neutral.
I was going to say, I don't want to sully your position with a label, because I know how you reject.
Oh, why you got to be sour like that? It's not even about labels. It's just I can't delineate myself as being one thing here, but have different areas. Well, I don't really fall in that category here. That's why it's a neutral.
And like I said, I wasn't trying to sully it. And then you have days
like today where I'm not neutral.
No, you're definitely not neutral. You're feisty, which I like. But what we wanted to do was to begin to bring in topics that are literally points of dissent and look at things, whether they were historical, whether the current events, philosophical, hell, even religion, which is something we've tried to stay away from, but I just can't help myself, and even bring in some guests that do things that are outside the accepted realm, or let's say band of opinion, like we were talking about before, which is what I think we're more geared towards. And those are the things I love. So with that, I just, again, wanted to thank all of you guys that have stuck with us for this long. There shouldn't be any negative changes whatsoever. We're still going to talk about politics, but we're going to bring some other stuff in it. And it's still going to come from this same perspective, but the main thing we are keying on is points of dissent. What people have done in the past and what people are doing now to reject an accepted opinion. Did you have anything you wanted to follow up with?
No, I think you covered it all. I think it's going to be an interesting... I think it's going to make for some interesting conversations.
Absolutely. Just and that's what we're after.
Right. It's we're still going to have the topical things, but I mean, there's going to be different connections and things with history or different points of view. Like, I think you may have your friend Cole coming in from time to time.
Absolutely. And, I forgot to even mention that.
Yeah. Cole's a really cool dude. I like him a lot. And he's very well thought out, but because he goes so deep on subjects, it's very often he will consider aspects that I may not have gotten to.
Right.
On my own ever, but they're so intriguing. And, yeah, it's a cool opportunity. Like, the logo itself is pretty much staying the same. We still have our porcupine, which is where we have that little point thing in there. But just the name's different, just because I think the porcupine aspect itself was limiting. And this really opens up, where I think the podcast has grown, where the podcast has grown into.
Not to mention most people, if you were looking for a podcast that you haven't listened to before and you come across the name Porcupine Perspective,
it doesn't really tell you much.
It doesn't tell you a damn thing. And it was an offshoot of something else we did. But right. Yeah, Cole is a very good friend of mine. We actually do another podcast together called Descent into Descent, which is where the other part of the name came from. And we've talked about everything from our primitive evolution and
yeah, just basically, guys, way, way more intellectual and deep thinking than we go into here. But it's worth listening to if you guys haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and it should hopefully be a marrying of the two. Yeah. The other one's still
going
to exist.
We'll keep going and just create the Descent Network.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, everything from the mythology of the Garden of Eden to a breakdown of how we view the Wizard of Oz and the Yellow Brick Road and the implications in modern society. So, with that, I want to thank you guys, especially those that are new to the podcast. Another good friend of mine, Nick Pacone, we've been talking about his podcast, has been helping me get this out, and you guys have pushed our downloads to new unforeseen limits. I'm very excited to see, hopefully, where this change goes, and I can't thank Nick Pacone enough. We talked about him the last two episodes with his Peace Freaks. And he's actually doing a website, if I remember correctly, it's called liberpods.com, where he can actually help you if you're a podcaster that is kind of playing around in this same field. But I'll try to get some links up in the show notes. And it looks like we've gone off in the weeds a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Again, thank you guys for sticking it out to hear me and Evelyn beat some dead horses to death, resurrect them, and beat them a few more times.
Well, you got to get it right. We didn't get it right the first time.
I'm always right. Thanks, guys.
Barf.